no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. And glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. And I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. And glory to God, He set me free. Oh, and now I am climbing higher each day. Oh, darkness of night has drifted away. Oh, my feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm overbound. Oh, He set me free. Yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. And I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. And glory to God, He set me free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, we have a very special treat tonight. We haven't heard from him for a while. Amen. Actually, it's been since last year. So we always enjoy when Brother Fred comes and teaches, Fred Zimmerman. And I appreciate Brother Zimmerman. He went with me yesterday to see my brother off to Arkansas, and it's good to have friends. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, brother. Help us out tonight. Pray. Amen. Pray.
Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord. And I think I got something. Just a bunch of scriptures, Bible study night, right? Praise the Lord. Give honor to a pastor. Thanks for allowing us to speak in this church, and thanks. He puts in a lot of time, like Darren, Andre. We get to speak every once in a while, and sometimes it's. When you only have to speak once in a while, like you don't have to hear the, you don't have to think of something new all the time, but I know it'd be very difficult to come with a lesson every single week. It'd be very difficult. Like, my wife has heard me teach quite a bit, and she finishes something usually, or sometimes she'll end up jumping in, finishing, telling me to speed up the story, because she's already heard it a bunch of times. But, yeah, that's just me teaching Bible studies with people, like, one-on-one, so I can't imagine, like, for years coming up with lessons every week. That would be, but praise the Lord. The word is what holds us, and it gives us stuff to think about the rest of the week, and you keep growing. You just don't realize how much you're growing little by little. So praise the Lord. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. And this is just pretty much a general lesson, like something that I've put into practice. Jared's there laughing. So there's nothing like, it's not extremely exciting, but it's something that will, I believe, will really bless you. It's powerful. It's something like the things that you just have to do every day are the things that's your character, and that's what God will really bless. So I'm going to go to Ephesians here. Oops, I had it there. So Ephesians 6, verse 1. And so it's going to start at, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on earth. If you go back and read the Ten Commandments, that's what it says. And And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, wherewith he is bond or free. Okay, we will, and one more verse. And ye masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing threatenings, knowing that the master is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. So we can pray. Jesus, Lord, I pray, Lord, you just open your word to us, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, you'd help me to speak as an oracle of the Lord in Jesus' name, Lord. Help me, Lord Jesus, communicate this message, Lord, as you put it in my heart. In Jesus' name, be a blessing, Lord, to the people in this church. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So now we're going to go to, you can be seated. We're going to go to Colossians, actually chapter 3. I accidentally gave you verse 4, but it's actually chapter 3, verses 20 through 25. And it says something very similar to what we just read, Colossians 4:20. Okay, children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive a reward of the inheritance. For you shall serve the Lord, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done. And there is no respect of persons. So it sounds very similar to what we just read in Ephesians. Now, I think it's interesting that it pairs both of these scriptures, both talking about honoring your father and your mother, or children obeying your parents, and then honoring your parents in the Lord. And then it pairs it with serving your masters. Like, because in the home, like, you learn to respect authority through your parents. Your parents are not doing you a service by letting you do whatever you want and get to be the ruler, the roost, or what. Like, that's not doing your kids a service. Like, if kids don't learn how to follow authority of their parents, they're going to have a very tough time making it in the work world. Because on the job, you're going to have a boss, and he's going to tell you what to do. And you have to, like, when you're a child, it's the best time to learn how to do stuff that you don't want to do. And you can throw a temper tantrum or whatever, but you still just got to get the job done. And it's best to learn that when you're a kid. But if you don't learn that till you're on the job, you're going to go from job to job to job, because bosses are not going to put up with you throwing a temper tantrum. So it says, now, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And 23, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, not unto men. Now, this is a struggle, because you'll see a lot of people when you get into the workforce. I'm sure a lot of you can testify that people work very hard when the boss is on the job. And I've actually have found it strange, because I'm a boss sometimes through like for a couple months out of the year. And like, I am really shocked when I hear, I just don't believe what some people tell me, because everyone's a hard worker around me. But when I'm gone, there's other people that like to tattletale and like to say, well, this person, they work so hard when you're there, but as soon as you're gone, they're not there. But when you start to hear it from multiple employees about the same person, you start to realize. But this is saying, do not be like, do not just work hard when your boss is watching. That's what it's saying. Like, it's difficult just to do what you're supposed to do when no one's watching over you. What does it say? I think Proverbs says that a servant's known by his work, but or a child is known by his work. Like, you can tell when a child, if they're going to make it very far in life, by when you're not watching them, if they do what they said they're going to do when you're not watching over them. I should have wrote that scripture down, but it's a proverb that says that a child's known by his work. But you can tell if they're honest when they're a young adult, that most likely they're going to go pretty far in life. If they can be trusted to do the right thing when no one's watching, even when they're adolescents, that they're probably going to go very far in this world, because that's a rare trait. That's a rare trait. But this is saying, in the easy way to do that is you realize you're not working for your boss. I mean, you are. But God doesn't bark orders down from the skies and tell you what to do. If you're waiting for that to happen and you're praying, God, what do you want me to do today? What do you want me to do? He's not going to start thundering and not going to just like keep giving you a word from the Lord what to do. A lot of times he's going to put people over you and they're going to give you instructions what to do. And the same, like, just as your parents are not perfect and they're going to have flaws and they're going to tell you to do stuff sometimes that doesn't seem right. You just have to do it. That's just part of life. Just like your boss is going to end up telling you to do stuff that you could probably have a better way sometimes, but it's just not the right thing to do. You just do what your boss tells you. And if you can learn that principle in life, you will go very far. Now, Darren could probably attest, but when I was in the military, I did not think like this. What? What? Oh, that my Bible keeps opening? Okay. Okay, yeah. It's a new Bible, so it doesn't seem to stay open on its own. But when I was in the military, I was new to church, and I've just never really liked the people that always like did whatever they're told to do, even when the boss isn't watching. Like I would try to work hard, you know, and outwork everyone, but like just for a time. Like it wasn't like especially when people give you jobs that just like, what's the point? Well, if you're a servant, like, you're not really supposed to think like that. But it helps you in Colossians because it says you're supposed to do it as unto the Lord. So whatever you do, you have to do with the spirit of excellence. Like, you have to do it well. If a job, like my wife says all the time, but if a job's worth doing, then it's worth doing well. Don't just do something to go through the motions. You're not ever going to get very far in life going about life that way. Like, if you're going to do something, you need to do it with the spirit of excellence. Like, Proverbs actually backs it up, and Solomon says that whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your strength. Like, if you're going to do something, you better do it well. Like, what's the point of just going through the motions? Like, how's God going to bless that? Like, we'll go. Let's go to Peter. Let's go to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 2. So this is a couple New Testament scriptures we're going over. So it's easy if you have a good boss. Everyone wants a good boss, right? Everyone loves the easy boss that doesn't really push you and doesn't really just always tells you you're doing a good job. But that's just not really reality. Like a boss, the reason he's probably your boss, especially, he probably has a boss over him and he needs to get jobs done. So sometimes things are not going right, and so they have to put the pressure down. They have to put the hammer down, you know? They need to make sure that it's getting done right. And so it's not fun when pressure is being applied to you. So we're going to go to second. So even a good boss, sometimes it's not fun. You just have to do what he tells you to do. So let's go to 1 Peter chapter 2. I had this marked in my other Bible. First Peter chapter 2, verse 13. So it says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for this is for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto the governor, or unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. So that's just, it's good to honor people that are in positions of power. If you don't learn how to do that, you're going to end up having some problems in life, because there's going to be, if they're a boss on your job, then they're due respect. Like, they've put in their time to get there, and sometimes they maybe didn't. Maybe somehow they got the job and they have a family member or a friend that put them in the position, but they're still in that position, so you have to give honor to that office. And you're doing yourself a favor if you honor people that are in positions of authority that are above you. If you don't like, if you don't like the president, like even if you don't like some of his agenda, you still have to honor him. He's in a position of power. And if you try, like a police officer, if you don't like him, it doesn't matter. He's still a police officer. It says that they bring judgment punishment of evildoers. So they really do. Sometimes they actually, even if they're a person and they make mistakes, they still, the law uses them to execute judgment upon people that are doing wrong things. So if you try to basically buck against the authority and let them know what you think about them, you may find out what authority they really have. And sometimes they're people, and so they can make mistakes too, but it's just best to honor people that are in positions of authority. And that's tough as a human. Like, we like, when you know someone's wrong, you sometimes want to point it out to them. But I like what the Proverbs say. If you if a servant corrects his master, he will incur his wrath. So that's just a tip to the wise. Like, if you see your boss doing something wrong, it may not be in your own best interest to point it out to your boss. Because the Bible says if a servant corrects his master, he will incur his wrath. So your boss may be corrected, but he probably will remember that and give you some jobs that you won't really like down the road. Now, he could be a Christian, God-fearing man and be humble, but typically most people don't like being corrected, especially if they're called out in front of the public, in front of other people. So that's just Solomon in his own observation giving you some wisdom that it's hard to watch people being wrong without wanting to interject your opinion. And I definitely am not a good, do not follow my footsteps, because I could tell you that and I can understand it with my mind, but it's hard for me not to correct people when I think they're doing something that's not right. Now let's go on to verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. So anyone can submit to a boss that's really easy and doesn't really discipline and just tells you to do stuff you want to do. But it says, don't only be subject to masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Like, the froward, those are rough around the edges. Like, they make a lot of people upset. Like, they like barking orders. And it's very difficult to work for someone like that. But this is saying, that, verse 19, for this is thankworthy if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. So it's saying, if you got a boss that is over you, that is purposely trying to make your life difficult, just do it. Just do it as unto the Lord. That's commendable before God. Like, anyone could go ahead and work for a good boss that just doesn't really ever scold you, doesn't really ever put any pressure on you. Anyone could do that, but that's not going to gain the attention of God. But if you do what you're told, even when you're not, even when the boss is being extremely difficult on you and trying to make your life difficult, that's when God takes notice. For what glory is it, verse 20, if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? So I have a tough time when I do something wrong and my boss points it out. I have a tough time not arguing back, even like not necessarily even my boss, but you'll find out even if you are a boss, you still have other people you have to answer to. And when they point out something you're doing wrong, it's hard not to just sit there and listen to them tell you what you're doing wrong. But if you do well and suffer for it, take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So, like, what good is it if you do something wrong and your boss points it out to you and you don't, like, blow up? You don't, like, throw a big fit. You don't blow up, argue with them, and cause a big scene at the office or on the job, wherever. You did something wrong. Like, just, you, okay, whoop-de-doo. Like, you didn't lose your job because you didn't, like, tell your boss what you really thought of him because he was correcting you. But it says, if your boss corrects you and you didn't do nothing wrong, that's commendable before God. How many people like being corrected when they're not wrong? I don't think there's probably any. I mean, I have a tough time being corrected when I'm wrong. Like, try to correct me when I'm right. Like, that is a whole nother level. Like, I still have not mastered that. I have a very tough time being corrected when I don't feel like I've done anything wrong. So that's, but this is what the Bible is telling you to do. Now, this sounds like a pretty hard feat to accomplish, correct? I mean, this is always something to work on. But I'm going to show you a couple stories. So God has never changed. So Jesus is the God of two testaments. Like, he didn't have a human form in the Old Testament, but he came, the Bible, like the Tanakh, the Torah, became a person and demonstrated the Bible in human form, how to live it. Not just you read it in a book and try to understand how to be a perfect person. He demonstrated it. Like, the words that were in the book got lifted into the pages of life, and he spoke to us through the actions of Jesus, spoke to us how to live, be a perfect man. But you could still see some of these principles. Even though these principles are outlined in the New Testament, they were still always there in the Old Testament. And so you can see people live according to this pattern in the Old Testament and how God deals with them. So we're going to go to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. And I'm teaching on this just because I understand my world is pretty small. I can only, like, see what's happened to me in my life. And I would have never believed a lot of this stuff, like, 20 years ago when I first got in the church. But through my interactions and dealings with people and how God's worked in my life, this seems to jump out at me in the scriptures. Like, I've seen it happen to other people that are in the church, and it seemed to have happened to me. So you can see it in the Bible. So it's how God deals with people. Okay, verse... we're going to go to Genesis chapter 31. Oh, yeah, Genesis 26, verse 6. That's what we're going to go. Genesis 26, and verse 6. So, and Isaac dwelt at Gerar, and the men of the place asked of him, of his wife, and he said, "She is my sister," for he feared to say, "She is my wife," lest... said he, "the men of this place should kill me for Rebekah, because she was fair to look upon." And it came to pass, when he had been there a long time, that Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, looked out the window and saw, and behold, Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, his wife. And Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Behold, of a surety, she is thy wife. And how saidest thou, she is my sister?" And Isaac said unto him, "Because I said, lest I die for her." And Abimelech said, "Why is this that thou hast done unto us? One of my people might have lightly lain with thy wife, and thou should have brought guiltiness upon us." And Abimelech charged all his people, saying that touch this man or his wife shall surely be put to death. Then Isaac sowed in the land. I'll just stop right there in verse 11. I just think it's interesting how you have a heathen king that knows that... you said this, your wife was your sister, because you were worried that we might kill you or whatever. But if you might have caused one of our men or someone to have slept with your wife, and that would have been like, that would have brought a curse upon us. So even people back in the Old Testament times knew that breaking the Ten Commandments, even if they didn't know them, was wrong. We live in a day so far detached from that that people don't think it's a problem. They don't see, I mean, they have TV shows about, like, wife swapping and all this, but it's like, don't you understand that curses come with all those things? Like, people just, that weren't even associated with the God of Israel used to know these things. That was in the human race at one point. Now, verse 11. Verse 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received the same year a hundredfold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great. For he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and great store of servants, and the Philistines envied him. For all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with the earth. And Abimelech said to Isaac, "Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we." So Isaac departed from thence and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac digged again wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father. And the Philistines had stopped after the death of Abraham. And he called their names after the names by which his father had called him. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well springing water. And the herdmen of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdmen, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. And they digged another well and strove for that also, and he called that name Sitnah. And he removed from thence and digged another well, for they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth. And he said, for now the Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. And he went up from thence to Beersheba. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of the Lord and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Now, I don't know if you see what's going on, but Abimelech is the king of the Philistines. He's also the king of Gerar, and they see that Isaac is being blessed. And so he asks Isaac, can you please leave us? So picture this. It said that he sowed a hundredfold increase in 1 year. I don't know if you can put that in today's terms. I said this in the youth reading, because we're reading the Bible in 6 months. If you guys are, I don't know if anyone following that plan that we did, the youth of the district are reading the Bible in 6 months. Pretty awesome. But I pointed out that in today's terms alone, so a hundredfold increase. So let's say you have, like in today's terms alone, let's say you have like a $20 an hour job. That's, okay, let's, is that, that's pretty. Yeah, so that would be like you start at your job and you're making $20 an hour. And the next year, you're making $2,000 an hour. Like, or you're making $20,000 a year. Now you're making $2 million a year. Like, or if you're even making $10,000 a year, that's not even poverty. Not even, that's way below poverty level. But the next year, you're making $1 million a year. Like, that is something that if you had friends that you saw were barely scraping by, and then the next year, like, they have a hundredfold increase, like, that's not normal. That's just something that is going to cause people around to take notice. So King Abimelech was scared and says, you know what, can you just go ahead and leave us? And then when he left and he starts farming, doing whatever he's doing, like, they're digging wells, and the Abimelech's men, they start taking the wells from him, and they take it from him. I think that they possibly were the ones that were stopping him when Abraham had died. Some of the same, the Philistines were, it said that. But, okay, so now let's go to verse 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar and Ahuzath, one of his friends, and Pichol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, wherefore come ye to me, seeing that ye hate me, have sent me away from you? So Isaac, from Isaac's perspective, he says, what are you doing here? Like, you guys have kicked me out of your land. You hate me. Why are you here visiting me now? And they said, we saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. And we said, let there now be an oath between us, even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee, that thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee. Notice how the opinion of the king Abimelech, his opinion is, we haven't done anything to you. And as we have done unto thee nothing but good. That's what he says. We have done nothing but good. This is how people that don't have a revelation of God, their world is so small, they don't realize when they're stepping on you. They don't realize, like, when they're, like, doing stuff to harm you. They're just so in their own world, they don't really understand the reality of what their actions are doing. This will happen to you. The Bible says anyone that lives godly shall suffer persecution. But sometimes the people don't even realize that's what they're doing to you. That's the king Abimelech had no clue that he was, like, hurting. Like, Isaac's like, why are you coming to me, you seeing that you hate me? And he's like, whoa, I haven't done you anything. I've done only but nothing but good to you, and have sent thee away in peace. Thou art now blessed of the Lord. So he's saying, I sent you away in peace. And, like, I just read to you. That didn't sound very peaceful to me. But the world's standards of peace, well, I didn't kill you. I mean, I could have, like, brought an army after you. But the way people treat you sometimes is totally wrong. But in their own mind, especially if they're not serving God, they're totally oblivious to what they're doing to you. So sometimes don't take it personal when it feels like people are out to get you. I heard Brother Reed out once said that it's not that everyone's against you, it's just they're for themselves. So they're so much for themselves that they end up stepping on you sometimes to get what they're trying to get. And they don't even really understand that they're wrecking your plans. They're totally disrupting your life. Like, they don't understand because they're so just narrow-minded into getting what they want to get that they end up hurting you in the process. But that was not, they were totally clueless that it happened. It wasn't their intention. And he made them a feast, and they did eat. And they rose up as betimes in the morning and swore to one another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from peace. Okay, so you can see there. So Isaac there, he just, whenever they took one of his wells, he just moved on and got another one. They took that one, he just moved on. Was that right? Was that right that they took one of his wells? You can sit there and fight about it and bellyache about it and like, it's not right. God, why are you letting this happen? But he just moved on. He just, okay, well, this must not be for me. And he just dug another well. And they came and took it again from him. And, you know, he just dug another well. And that's where it said they didn't come and take that one because they already had enough stuff. Well, then the very end, it says, we know that the Lord is with you. So we need to make an oath with you that you're not going to end up destroying us or whatever. But people may come against you. And they may be in. It says the ultimate cause of why they kicked Isaac out of the Philistines' land is it says the Philistines were envious. They knew the blessing of God was upon Isaac, and they envied it. God will use you as an object lesson on your jobs or with your friend, and God will start to bless you in the sight of the people in your own little world. You'll have a position of influence in your own little circle because God is trying to draw the people around you unto him. God wants to reach the whole world, so he'll use you and he'll do whatever it takes to reach the people around you. Now, not all the people around you are really want to be reached, but God will, if you are submitted to the Lord and you're in the will of God, you'll see he'll have a habit of sending people your way that he's dealing with, that he's trying to reach. And so your path will just tend to cross. Now let's go to Genesis 31. Now this one is definitely a lot more obvious. Genesis chapter 31, starting at verse 1. Now this is Jacob. And he heard the words of Laban's son, saying, Jacob hath taken away all that our fathers, and of that which our father hath, he hath gotten all his to his glory. And Jacob beheld the countenance of Laban, and beheld it was not toward him as before. And the Lord said to Jacob, return unto the land of thy fathers, and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. And Jacob sent and called Rachel and Leah to the field unto his flock. And he said unto them, I see that your father's countenance, that is not toward me as before. But the God of my father hath been with me. And ye know that with all my power I have served your father. And your father hath deceived me and changed my wages 10 times. But God suffered him not to hurt me. So if he said thus, speckled shall be thy wages, then all the cattle bear speckled. And if he said thus, ring straight shall be thy hire, then the cattle bear ring straight. And God hath taken away the cattle of your father and given them to me. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle had conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which leaped upon the cattle were ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. And the angel of God spake unto me in the dream, saying, Jacob, and I said, here I am. And he said, lift up thine eyes and see, all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straked, speckled, and grizzled. For I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. And I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise and get out from the land and return to the land of thy kindred. So what's happening here is God is telling Jacob, go back home. Go back to the land that's promised to you. Like, your time with Laban is done. Now, I've taught on Jacob before, but Jacob was a deceiver, and he went through life deceiving his family, his brother, his dad. His very name meant that he was a trickster or deceiver. But God's antidote for him is he went to go work for Laban for 20 years, and Laban lied to him. Just constantly, straight to his face, just lied to him. And he was also his father-in-law because he married his daughter. So you would think that his father-in-law would take care of him because, I mean, they're family now. But Laban just took advantage of Jacob. And Jacob now, instead of being the one lying to people to get his way, Now he was on the opposite end of the lie, and he was the one being lied to. And so when it came time for payday, so he would find out that he wasn't getting paid what he thought he was. And so back in these days, you got paid once a year, or I guess the terms that they worked. So Jacob would be like, okay, Laban say, what do you, if you can go back and read it, but Laban basically said, what do you want paid this year for working for me? And so Jacob would say, how about all the ring-straked or the speckled or the grizzled, whatever. He said it, and then they'd work year-round, and at the end of the year, that's what he would get paid. But at the end of that year, Laban would not pay him what they originally agreed upon. Anyone ever had a situation like that where someone told you that they were going to do something for you if you just did this? And then you do whatever you made an agreement, and then they're like, "That's not what we said." Am I the only one that's ever happened to before? Yeah. Like you, so you spend you like it ends up being a lot of times when you say you're going to do something, like it ends up being a lot more difficult than you thought when you first said, "Okay, yeah, no problem, I'll go ahead and do it." Is it just me? I say, "Oh yeah, sure thing, I'm going to do it," and then like no one's there anymore, and like everything just starts to like. Fall apart, and you're like, I told this person I'd do it, but I didn't know this, and I did, and like you get another phone call, and it's like totally not what you signed up for. You're like, I told him that's what I got to do, and so you do as hard as you can, and you finally make it happen, and it was much of a struggle, and then you tell the person, and they're like, that's not what we agreed upon. I was like, are you serious? Like I just spent like I just like my whole day is wrecked trying to do what I told you I was gonna do, or weeks, or sometimes even longer than that. And you don't even remember the conversation? Like, I don't... Anyways, that's what happened to Jacob. Only, we're going to read right here in Genesis 31. We'll go to verse 36 now. So, he's actually leaving now because God told him to. And you get to 36 here, and Laban's not very happy at all. Laban's like, whoa, what's going on? Like, he's taking all my cattle and all my daughters. And so, and Jacob was wrong. So he's actually searching all his possessions because he said he stole something. And so after Laban goes through, can't find what he claimed he stole, then Jacob was wroth and chode with Laban. And Jacob answered and said to Laban, what is thy trespass? What is my sin that thou hast so hotly pursued after me? Whereas thou hast searched all my stuff, what hast thou found of all thy household? Set it here before my brethren and before thy brethren, that they may judge between us. This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flocks have I not eaten. That which was torn of the beast, I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it. With my hands didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night. Thus I was in the day of drought, I consumed me, and the frost by night, and my sleep departed from my eyes. Thus have I been 20 years in thy house, and I served thee 14 years for thy two daughters and 6 years for thy cattle, and thou hast changed my wages 10 times. Except the God of my father, the God of Abraham and the fear of Isaac had been with me, surely thou hadst sent me away now empty. God has seen my affliction and the labor of my hands and rebuked thee yesterday night. Because Laban was going to go try to take everything from Jacob, but God appeared to Laban, who didn't seem to be a very spiritual man, but God appeared to him and told him, you don't touch Jacob. So that kind of changed Laban's plans. But I like how you have, Laban says, what's your paycheck? What do you want to work for this year? And you say, okay, well, how about all the cows, all the ones that have spots on them? Those will be mine this year when they're born. If they're born spotted, then they'll be mine. If they're not, everything else will be yours. So then it says in the dream that the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said that God has taken all Laban's cattle and given them to you, because then the whole next year, like all the cattle would be born spotted. And so Laban would be like, wait, this is not good. Like this, what is going on here? But it's little by little, because God is the one that rewards you for working hard, not your boss. God may use your boss to reward you, but it's ultimately God that's writing your paycheck. And now you tell that to people that aren't in church, they're going to think you're a clown. I've told people that before that aren't in church, and they think I'm a nutcase. But God is the one that is in charge. Promotion doesn't come from the east or from the west, right? But the Bible says it comes from above. So you just work as unto the Lord. So Laban was taking advantage of Jacob, but Jacob was doing it as unto the Lord. He was doing whatever Laban told him to do, and he didn't do it. He didn't look at what was really happening to him, that Laban was taking advantage of him. He's like, look, if I got to do this job, then God knows where I'm at, and I'm just going to do the best of my ability. He says that whether it was frost, whether he didn't sleep, like he lost sleep so many times taking care of Laban's flocks, like he took care of them better than his own. And then Laban still wouldn't even pay him. Like he didn't even pay him what he was supposed to, even though he treated his stuff better than his own. Well, now we could go on, but you know, Jacob's son ended up being Joseph, and I'm sure he heard a bunch of these stories. And Joseph, when he went on into Egypt, had that same those stories told him many times. And so now Joseph ends up being in Egypt, and he doesn't have a preacher there anymore. All he has is his daddy's stories that his dad preached to him all the time growing up about how he worked on Laban's ranch, always being taken advantage of. But he just worked hard, did it as unto the Lord, and in the end, he ended up with God ended up rewarding him. And that's it. What ends up happening to Joseph. So Joseph's not part of this lesson, but you can prove it again and again in the Old Testament that God, people, they did it as unto the Lord. They served evil bosses. They served people that were maliciously against them, and they did it to the best of their ability, and God would work it out in their favor. Now, God hasn't changed. If you're a Christian, you're going to end up being on jobs, or you're going to have people that are not going to like you. They're going to have it out to get you, and you're going to have to work for them. And they're going to try to see if they can crush your spirit, if they can get a rise out of you, so that they can justify treating you maliciously. But you just keep doing it as unto the Lord, and God will promote you. God will take care of you. Now, it's not it's maybe not in that moment. You may end up getting bad things happen to you on the job that you don't deserve. But if you try not to, if you let God defend you and you don't lash out and try to defend yourself, because there's a couple proverbs, but if you start arguing with a fool, like, it's hard to know who the fool is, right? You both look like a fool. So sometimes you just got to sit there and take people saying unjust things to you that totally aren't right, and you just got to take it. Because if you start to act in your emotions, start to argue back with them and defend yourself, you actually start to look pretty foolish. Okay, so let's go to Daniel chapter 6. Now, this is just stuff that we have to deal with. It's not super spiritual, but it really is. This is the stuff we have to do every single day. And you're going, unfortunately, the way life you get people that want to see bad things happen to you if you're a Christian. Now, the thing is, because that happens, sometimes the devil has a way of making your mind think everyone's out to get you, which totally is not true. It's totally not true at all. There's a lot of people that are watching the whole thing unfold, and those are the ones that God's trying to reach. Daniel chapter 6, starting at verse 1. And it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, and the princes might give account unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because he had an excellent spirit with him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion for no fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So we're not going to go further into it, but he ends up getting thrown into a den of lions, not because he did anything wrong, but because he prayed to God. And that's because they realize we can't lay a trap. We can't, like, blackmail him. We can't get him to take a bribe. Like, this guy is Mr. Do-Good. He's always does right, never tells a lie. Like, you can't get him, like, I guess nowadays it's called a lobbyist. He couldn't be lobbied. Like, he just did whatever was right. And so they couldn't pull his strings. And because of that, they really were upset because they wanted to entrap him, and they couldn't. But Because the thing is, he did everything is unto the Lord. Like, he knew the Lord was watching everything that he did. So he had to do it with this. It said he had an excellent spirit upon him, right? So everything he was doing, he did to the best of his ability. And I think that the same God that multiplied the 5 loaves and fishes and fed 5,000, right? Or 7 loaves, 5 fishes, but he fed 5,000. I think it's the same God that he doesn't just multiply bread and fishes. When you give God your best, like, he really does the rest. So you do everything with the spirit of excellence. He just has a way of multiplying your ability far beyond, in your reach, far beyond what you ever thought possible. And that's what's happened with Daniel. Daniel's like ruling this whole, I mean, this is like a Persian empire. So the Babylonian empire was before the Persians, but the Babylonian empire was the first world empire and then followed by the Persians. And Daniel was pretty much the leader of both of them. He wasn't the very one at the top, but he pretty much was right underneath of them. And so how much influence do you think he had over so many people, over the whole known world at that time? And God has a way of moving you into the place that he needs you to. That God wants to take care of his people, and he's going to put people in the places where he needs them to be. So Daniel had to submit to people sometimes that, what did he do? He didn't argue when they said he got to get thrown into the den of lions. Like, he just went up and he prayed again when he knew it was an unjust law, and he did what he had to do. And so he got thrown in a den of lions. Same thing with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were part with Daniel earlier, but there was a law. If they didn't bow down and worship this statue, they're going to get thrown into a fire, and that's what happened to him. All you can do is you have to, it says, submit to all the ordinances as what we just read in Peter, right? As though they're to the King Supreme, you just have to obey them, whether they're right or wrong, and let God sort it all out. And sometimes it just doesn't seem fair, but all you can do is do what you know the Bible tells you to do. It's sometimes you start looking down the future and start getting scared about what if this, they make me do this, or what if this happens. You can't think like that. All you can do is you live today, and God will give you instructions today. You read the Bible, and like, when someone asks you to do something the Bible tells you not to do, you're just like, I can't go there. I'm sorry, I can't do that. I can't tell a lie. I can't do it. It's just, God's not going to bless me. Because nothing in this world is worth losing your relationship with God. So if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what does it profit him? So you make a little extra money because you lied, but you lost your relationship with God? You think you're in control of you prospering? Like, that's not how it works. Like, God is the one that sets one up and casts another one down. Like, your most important thing you have in this life is your relationship with God. If you lose that, you lose everything. Right. Nothing is worth losing your relationship with God. Now, let's go to, this is going to be the last illustration we're going to have, but Samuel. We're going to go to Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 18. Now, I'm pointing out, this is actually a king that wants to kill David, and it clearly states it in the Bible, and yet he still submits to him. And I mean, God has illustrations like this in the Bible. People think when bad things happen to them, like, the people are against them, and so they think they have a way of thinking they're evil, and that these people are just no good, or they're the devil's using them to persecute me, and all. And a lot of times that's totally not true. But that's what we start to think sometimes. So God has even illustrations of the Bible. Let's pretend you actually do have an evil boss, because it does happen in the Bible. Well, how do you act in a situation like that? And so, but I just like to warn you guys, I just like to put this out there. A lot of times when you think your bosses are evil and they're doing things to you, they're probably not evil. And God is allowing it to happen. And you just, in your own mind, think they're evil, but they're really not. They're just people. They're just doing what is best for their job. Like, they're not purposely out to get you. They're not persecuting you. They're just trying to get a job done. Like, I remember Brother Mooney, one time I was in his, I got a ride in his car one time when I was at IBC, Indiana Bible College. Like, pastor had consulted me. There had been other pastors that had pulled me in their office. But I used to, like, when I met people, when I was new in the church, I would, like, open mouth, insert Bible. I would definitely every scripture I knew, I would try to get it in the conversation within the first like 30 minutes of meeting you. So it was, well, I got in trouble on jobs. I got counseled. I got written up. And so I was asking Brother Mooney. Okay, so we, like, everyone tries to, like, Brother Mooney is everyone would try to be around him all the time, but he always has a crowd, so it's very hard to ever have even ask him a question. But he has said, okay, we're going to cancel class today, and we're going to go to McDonald's. So we're going to have class at McDonald's, we're going to have coffee. So I rode in his car with him. So there's me and another guy, and so I was like, all right. So I was like, so he's like, you guys got any questions? I was like, yeah. How do you deal with people persecuting you when you're at work? He's like, people persecuting you at work? I think I've told this to Pastor before, but I was like, yeah, people persecuting you at work. He's like, what do you mean persecuting you at work? I was like, I mean, you've never heard of this? Like, he's been a pastor for like 50 years. Like, he's retired now. I was like, you've never heard of someone being persecuted at work? Like, he's like, no. Like, I was like, I don't understand. Like they make it difficult on you because they know you're a Christian. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, well, I've been written up and stuff because, like, I can't talk about the Bible, like when I'm at work and stuff, and I've been written up, like, multiple times for it. Like, he's like, I don't understand. Like, why would that happen? I was just shocked because, like, he'd been a pastor for, like, 50 years, and, like, I mean, I'm sure he had to have seen this at some point in his life. And I was like, oh, wow, I guess. He's like, well, so, surely they're paying you to preach, right? And I was like, he's like, you mean they're not paying you to preach? I was like, oh, he's like, oh, they're paying you to work. Oh, yeah, when you're on company time, you need to do your job. So that's your problem. And when he said that, I was like, it just kind of clicked. And I was not a good worker. I really was not a good worker for a lot of years of my life because I felt like I was called to preach or to convert the whole world, and you are. But on your job, you're like, it's a custom that people, if you're not a good worker, people kind of judge you as a louse, and so they're not going to listen to you preach to them if you can't even get your job done. Like, you're the work that you're supposed to be doing now, they're having to do. So they're like, oh, will you please stop talking so we can get our job done, because you're making me have to do a lot more work because you won't do your job. So you're not going to be a good witness to someone like that preaching to them when you're on. So anyways, when you're on the clock, you just need to work as unto the Lord. But it took a couple preachers to get through to me. But so then that actually kind of set me backwards, because I was like, I thought I was going to, like, we're going to have this revival and everyone just needs to be preaching all the time and quit their jobs and just be on the streets preaching all the time, which that would be nice, but that's just not the world we live in. Like, everyone's got to work. If a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. I mean, God put that in the Bible, right? So now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 18. So I called it persecution, but it wasn't persecution. It was, I was just not doing my job. Okay. Well, you know, I'm not going to actually, you can read it for yourself. I'm just going to speed this up. But 1 Samuel chapter 18, like, Saul, well, here, I'll read just a few verses of it. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Starting in verse 12. And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him, and he was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his way, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all of Israel and Judah loved David because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, behold, my elder daughter, Merib, I will give thee to wife. And be thou valiant and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, let not my hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. So Saul, you can keep reading, but he ends up giving Michal, his daughter, to David, if David can go and kill 100 Philistines. That was the deal. And he actually said that he didn't want to kill David himself. He's like, I'll send David out to battle and the Philistines can kill him. So that way he's out of my hair. That was his motive. The Bible states that. Saul was hoping that David would die in battle. So Saul sent David out to battle. And David goes out and fights, and he probably is like, wow, he didn't really send me much help here. I got to fight. This is a pretty big army. I don't got a whole lot of people with me. But he's like, well, if this is what God wants me to do, then bless God. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to fight, and we're going to win. So he went out there, he fought, and he killed twice as many people as he was supposed to. So he came back, told Saul, and Saul said was even more afraid of David. So there's even an illustration of someone's master or boss who was out to get him, wanted to see harm. But God has a way of when people lay traps for you, that they end up working, they end up falling into them themselves, or they end up, it ends up working out in your favor. Just like Laban would say, hey, name the wages. And God made Laban accountable to the wages that were laid out the year before. And so he said, okay, this is the wages. So all the sheep or the ox or whatever, the cows, they'd be born exactly what Laban said his payment was going to be. Now, Laban would lie and say that's not what happened. But God ultimately was responsible for the promotion. Now, I've just said all this because in my own life, like, I know you shouldn't really, I can't, my world is small. I can just see what's happened to me. But, like, I got taken advantage of, I felt, by one of my bosses. And I had worked for this company, and I was supposed to be a manager of people, but also they found out I had website skills. And I really didn't know much, but they actually paid for some of my training so I could learn it better. And so I was building website stuff for our company, and it ended up working very well. Like, we had one of the best websites in this whole city, and so we were getting all this work, just tons and tons of work. They actually called me in the office. It was for like this went on for like 3 months, and they didn't pay me my commissions. And I was like, after 3 months, I still didn't get like a penny of my commission. I was like, I'm supposed to get paid a commission for my management fee, and like all these sales have gone through. I work for a roofing company, and like I haven't got even one penny of my commission yet. And like, this is just not right. And they said, well, the thing is we hired you to be a manager, but you're like, basically your website's getting all this work for us and you're not really managing people. And that's what we paid. Your commission was based on that. So that's why you're not really doing the job. I was like, but anyone in this office, I've made this company more money than anyone that works here, like of anyone. And so for not performing, because I found a better way to do it. And there's more to the story, but I was like, I overperformed what you guys originally laid out on the drawing board when you first wanted me to work for you, that if I got this many sales, that you guys would pay me this much. Like, I far exceeded that. Now, it's not the same way that you guys had envisioned, but I've gotten way more sales for the company. And for you guys to cut back my pay, like, that's just not right. Well, I ended up not being a very Christian about it, but I ended up leaving the company. But those skills that I learned in that company by learning how to manage website stuff and social media, that's still how I make a living to this day. So sometimes you may get taken advantage of. Things may not go your way, but God has it all planned out. So God had me in that position to learn all the stuff that he was going to use in the future. So sometimes it's hard to look just in the here and now and like, God, what you got me doing? Why am I going through this right now? But you just have to trust the process. You have to believe that God is orchestrating your whole life. He is putting all the pieces in place, and he knows the end result. He knows where he's taking you. So you just have to do whatever you're doing to the best of your ability. Do it well, and then God will promote you to a different position. Now, your promotion may look like you're going from the Potiphar's house, like a very wealthy man, to now you're going to the dungeon. So your promotion may look like you're actually going the wrong direction. But that's not the end of the story. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So in conclusion, you can see, like, it's in the Old Testament all the time. People getting taken advantage of, and they're still doing it just like the Bible says in the New Testament. Like, the Bible says to pray, or Jesus says, pray for them that despitefully use you. So you guys can all stand if you want. I don't know. Okay. We'll just close there if we can just pray. I know sometimes it doesn't seem fair, and you guys can come and tell us your problem, tell Pastor, tell Darren. Sometimes we don't really know what to do for you except just pray for you, because sometimes life is not fair. But when you look in just that snapshot, it just doesn't seem right. But if you just keep trusting God, just keep believing in the process and believe that God's in control, in the end, you're going to come out victorious, and God has got a great purpose for your life that you wouldn't even believe if he told you right now. So you just got to go through the process. Don't give up on God. Jesus, Lord, thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray you to bless everyone here, Lord Jesus, Lord. I pray, Lord Jesus, you just multiply all our efforts, Lord, when we're doing something for your kingdom, Lord. Help us to be kingdom-minded, Lord Jesus, to always be seeking to advance your kingdom, Lord. And all we do in thought, word, or deed, Lord, I pray we just do it all as unto the Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to encourage others, Lord, to live for you, Lord Jesus, Lord. Even, Lord, when it's tough, Lord Jesus, Lord. Even when we don't know why, Lord Jesus. Even when we don't have the answers, Lord Jesus, Lord. Help us just to trust you, Lord, and to trust in the process, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You guys are dismissed.